is the anthem of the adventurer. The show for men who are tired of forsaking their dreams, who are willing to risk, to dare greatly, and know in their soul that their desire for adventure is good. It's time to venture into the wild places in our hearts. Here's your host, Dan Sayner.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm your host, Dan Sayner, and today we get to talk about one of my favorite things, cars and adventures in them. As you guys know, we have a trusty old Subaru Outback, a 2010 model that I love dearly. And yes, you may see my Land Rover on Instagram, but my first love was a Subaru. And it has taken us all over the place. We've owned, I think, 4 Subarus now. Well, one of them was a Saab, but it was a rebadged Subaru. Anyway, also used to work at the plant where my car was built, as well as the car of our guest today, Greg Finke, better known as the Adventure Dad Wagon on Instagram. And we get to talk about just kind of how we get into some fun places and things with our families that are enabled by having a vehicle that can go anywhere, do just about anything, and carry all of our stuff along with us. Super cool topic, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you today. As usual, we have some resources to share before we get going, so let's send those your way before we get into our interview. First off, join our email list there. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of our website, anthemoftheadventurer.com, I promise that is going to be changing soon. There's a box to sign up. We're going to be going through a lot of new changes over the next month here. So if you want to be involved with all of the goodness that's coming, sign up for our email list so you make sure you get all the updates. Second is the Adventure Challenge books. There is a big blue box on our homepage that will send you to their checkout page for a book for yourself or for you and your spouse or you and your family or your kids to take some spontaneous adventures that you don't actually know what you're going to do until you commit to it. It's really awesome. Check it out. And if you use the promo code Dan10, you'll get 10% off of your first purchase. And if you're ready to go a bit deeper into adventures, if you're a business owner or a manager or just wanting to coordinate action better in your life, check out SEAL Team Leaders. Larry Atch and our team over there specialize in training and courses for creating, operating, and sustaining high-functioning teams. And as we know, you can't do a life of adventure alone. You need a team. So go learn from the best SEAL Team Leaders. With that, no further ado, we have Greg Finke and the Adventure Dad Wagon.
All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm Dan Sayner, your host, coming at you from the Adventure Shed, where it is a balmy 20-something degrees. So if you hear teeth chattering, that's just me. We're embracing the cold training tonight and really excited to talk to a guy that we met on Instagram of all places. So yes, social media can have good effects when used appropriately, and super excited to talk to Greg Finke. I hope I'm not butchering your last name too badly, and otherwise known as the Adventure Dad Wagon. Greg, welcome to the show. Good to have you tonight.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me on.
So, as we do with all of our guests, before we get into who you are and what you're about, I'd like to ask you for a challenge. So what is something that I can do and the audience can do the week after this episode airs to embrace some more adventure in our lives?
So it's one thing that we do, and one thing that I kind of try to start this whole dad wagon lifestyle is, if you have kids and you have a family and stuff like that, I challenge everybody to have one day a week, or maybe one day every 2 weeks, given schedules and stuff like that, to have no tablets, no electronic devices, and go outside and do something outdoors where you can make an adventure or make a memory. Because that's the biggest thing is I try to create a lifestyle with the dad wagon theme, and just get out and make some memories and have some good times with your family. So that's what I would challenge everybody to do is maybe one day a week or one day every 2 weeks, whatever their schedules permit, to just put down the electronics and get out and do something.
That's awesome. I love that. And I wholeheartedly endorse it. We do that, in some way, shape or form, usually Sundays. We kind of reserve Saturday evening through Sunday evening for, you know, things like that. So that's awesome. Okay. So now that we have the challenge laid down, who is Greg and what is he about?
So I am, I guess, like you said at the beginning, I'm the guy behind the dad wagon, Adventure Dad Wagon. Beyond that, I'm pretty straightforward, pretty laid back. I have a fiance who we're about to be married in about a couple weeks. And between the two of us.
Awesome. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Between the two of us, we have three boys that are 12, 8, and 8. So they're all right in the same age. They're all there. I grew up and I'm from Virginia. I'm from a small town in Virginia called Waynesboro, kind of in the Shenandoah Valley, Blue Ridge Mountains. And
nice.
Pretty much just grew up like every other kid in the 80s, playing outside until your parents came and got you, riding bikes, just doing whatever. We didn't have streetlights, so they would just come find us when it was dinner time and just get us to come home. We did a lot of camping, a lot of stuff like that. So we did a lot of outdoors lives. And then obviously as life evolves and stuff like that, we kind of get entrenched in electronics and stuff like that. But now we're down in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, which is like Virginia Beach, Norfolk, that area.
Oh, okay. Nice.
We work for the sort of civil service stuff like that. So it's kind of a balancing act of getting out and trying to figure out stuff to do and things like that. So, yeah.
Cool. Oh, man. So growing up the Blue Ridge Mountains, do you get back there at all and go tool around with the Blue Ridge Overland Gear crew?
So that's actually one thing I've been trying to connect with. I had a couple times arranged last year to go tour their facility, both their old one and their new facility. But because of COVID, just things, we weren't allowed to gather and rules like that. But definitely try to get up to the mountains a few times a year. We go back and visit my family quite a bit. Took the fiance. Actually, I proposed on the Skyline Drive.
Oh man! So
I took her up there and showed her around for a little bit, and we had a good time up there. But yeah, we definitely try to get back up there. And one of my favorite camping grounds campsites is Shenandoah Lake. It's in Lyndhurst, Virginia. It's in the valley. There's no cell option. There's nothing. The campsites are fantastic. They're pristinely kept. And it has just a giant lake and plenty of trails and stuff for all sorts of family and things to get in there. So it's a great place to go to if you're ever doing it. It's also part of the George Washington National Forest, I believe.
Really? I've been wanting to get there. So funnily enough, I actually bought my Land Rover from Matt, who owns Blue Ridge Overland Gear. And so I have very, very fond memories and connections with that crew up there. They're a good bunch.
Oh yeah, good dudes.
So how did the dad wagon start? Getting onto Subarus are my other vehicular love.
So the dad wagon started about 4 years ago almost. My family has owned about 15 Subarus.
So you got one of those stickers on the back with it, you know, the 15 and all the little badges and everything.
No, I don't have that. But so my dad, it actually started, my dad worked for DuPont for 30 years. And then when he retired, he was still in his early 60s, wanted to find something to do just to keep himself busy and just moving and talking to people. And so he started selling Subarus in the early 2000s. And so he bought a, I think a 03 WRX hatchback, which was our first one. Then he bought us a 97 Outback, which was my first car. Loved it in the snow. When I went to Radford University. So up in the mountains, their tech and everything, it just hauled and was a trooper. And so really from there, I owned two other ones. And I took my 2014 Outback to Boxer Fest with my son for the first time. Really started from there. I had a sticker on the car that said Battle Wagon, but it just didn't feel right. And somebody mentioned, like, "Hey, you're a dad. That's a dad wagon." I was like, "That's perfect." Then Instagram Adventure Dad Wagon was open, and I was like, "Let's do it. Let's run with it." And then I had one sticker made, and people just loved it. So I was like, "Let's keep going, and we'll just try and connect a community of dads." And had to throw some love to the moms out there for the mom wagon. So
of course,
but yeah, so we created a little community and it's just been growing ever since. It's been pretty awesome.
That is really cool. I think ever since I've been buying cars, we've had at least one Subaru in the family. My dad had a 95 Outback, I think, when we were young, and I loved that thing. It was green and, you know, the plaid, you know, rugs, and it was great. And then it wasn't an LL Bean edition. We weren't quite that fancy, but it was really cool, the forest green. And I can't remember if it was while I was studying abroad in England in college, and he got in a car accident with it. He was fine, but the car was totaled. I'm like, someday. And so since then I wanted to get another one. So my first car after we got married, we bought a 2005 Legacy GT sedan with the 5-speed, which is a
great choice,
hoot and a half. And then I saw a guy who was driving a black, you know, tinted out wagon version of the Legacy GT. I'm like, okay, I'm getting it. And so I ended up buying that and drove the wheels off of it pretty much. When we moved to Indiana, it was kind of fun because I worked for SIA where it was built, and, you know, got to see some of the guys were like, "Hey, you put my door on wrong," you know, kind of stuff. And they're just fun cars, a great community. We sold the Legacy a little while back with 240,000 miles on it or something. Found our current Subi, which is a 2010 Outback Blue. At one point I had a roof rack on it, but I took it off. But man, it's just an awesome car that'll get you where you need to go pretty reliably. You know, all you got to do is change the oil. It's great. But then have crazy people who like to, you know, mod them a little bit, make them even more capable. So let's talk gear. I mean, all of us guys love gear. What kind of mods do you have on the wagon?
Oh man, I guess the better question is, what don't I have on the wagon?
Okay, where did it start? Where did the addiction to lift kits and things start?
So it started the lift kit that I put on there. It's from LP. Aventura,
of course.
The guys out of Canada, gotta have the best stuff. I'm really big on the fact that they test everything to safety standards. They do the anti-wobble stuff, and they put a lot of thought into the design and the engineering of their products. So
they even sell it through dealerships now. Like our local dealer will outfit a new car with LP gear right off the showroom floor. It's really cool.
Yeah, they actually asked me if I wanted to see if I could work with any dealerships down here to partner with them, because they don't have any down in the Hampton Roads area. And then that kind of fell off a little bit, but I'll have to re-energize that. But so when I got my, I had a 14 Outback, this silver one, and that was total years ago. And I bought the 2019, the 3.6, which was always my dream Subaru to have the 3.6, the six cylinder.
Yeah.
It was last year. It was always wanted a black on black car, and it just the timing was perfect, and had to jump on it. It didn't help the insurance gave me a nice little check for the accident, but
yeah,
the irresponsible side of me put a nice portion of it down, but then also put a nice portion down on all the LP products.
There you go. Sure.
So I pretty much have the whole kits from them. I have their wheels, their big bumper guard, their full skid plates, armor underneath of the car, their rock sliders. And I think that's all pretty much it from LP. But from there, just it's spurred on to Casey Highlights and I. We partner together, so all my lights on the car, Casey Highlights, which I'm all about supporting local family-owned companies, stuff like that. And we have so many lights on the car. And then we kind of kept it. This is going to be kind of hard to believe, but we kept it realistic for what we want to use it for. So one of the big things out right now, the Prinsu racks, they're popular, they're everywhere. But for us, the basket, a traditional basket, fit perfectly because when we go camping, we have a 12 person tent and we prefer tent camping, and we throw that sucker up in the basket. It fits perfectly. Oh, we throw all our chairs and we just take it and go. So that's kind of been the theme that I'm trying to keep is there's a lot of cool and fun mods you can do, but what looks good keeps the same body style, the black and white theme that I have going on. And what are we actually going to use? I can throw a lot of stuff on there that I'm not going to use just for looks, but
yeah,
it has to be useful.
Yeah.
And then on the side part of it, I also participate in a lot of charitable car shows. So we do a lot for a lot of the local car show community here. I do a lot for CHKD, the children's hospitals, stuff like that. And just try to participate in those type things and show off the car and give back to some of the charities here locally as we can. So
cool.
That's the fun part of it, is the charitable car shows and stuff. But yeah.
Oh man, you're getting my gears turning with how I can use our Land Rover. Maybe not so much the Subaru, but who knows? If someone from LP is listening and wants to partner up with somebody in Indiana, let me know. But that's a really cool way to, you know, use what you got for a, you know, I would call it kingdom impact of, you know, doing some real good in the world and not just looking cool on Instagram, which is one of the things I really appreciate about your account, is like, you're really real. I mean, yeah, you've got great photos, you've got great videos, but it's all about getting your family out into the wilderness as fast as possible and safely.
Right. Yeah.
So, man, it's so many questions. you're in a tent camping, you know, not one of the rooftop tenters like some folks are, which is one of the cool things about getting out into adventure. Everybody's got their own style. What does your camping setup look like? Like when you're like, hey, we're going on the road, what do you pack? How long does it take you to get in the car?
Yeah, so we're actually trying something different this year. We've set a goal for ourselves to go camping once a month. With the entire four except myself. So we bought a smaller tent, one of the Gazelle T4 overland tents for just the two of us. And as crazy as it sounds, it's all about comfort, really. What am I gonna pack? What am I use? What's comfort? What do we absolutely need? What don't we need? So I have a lot of stuff for the whole family when all five of us go. We bring chairs for all of us. We bring the tent. We bring stuff to roast marshmallows, make s'mores, do all the stuff the kids like to do and make the memories and make it about the kids and their, because that's what the trips really are. It's for their memories and stuff like that. So it's really all centered around, hey, what can we do to keep them engaged? What can we do to keep them happy and energetic? So we bring their scooters, we bring our skateboards, roller skates, whatever. We bring that type of stuff. When it's going to be we're going to bring the dog. We're going to bring some hiking stuff. We're going to bring our better chairs that are more comfortable. We're going to bring coffee pots. We just got a new percolator to try the old style of brewing coffee out, see how that goes. We're just going to try and figure out and maybe have a little bit more of a, bring some better quality food. Maybe try and spice it up a little bit on the stove and see what we can make. But yeah, it's really about just for that. It's just we're going to relax and hang out. It's just more of to get away and decompress. So that's when it's the two of us, it's more about decompressing, relaxing. And it's warmer with the kids. It's more of keeping them energetic and that type of stuff. So bringing toys and stuff like that for them to keep, I guess, their minds going and never want them to constantly keep moving and not just sit still and be complacent. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I just booked our trip to go to a spot in Eastern North Carolina. So we'll see how that goes. And we'll be going down there in a couple of weeks.
Cool. Well, if you ever make it over to Indiana, let me know.
yeah, for sure. There's a lot of places where I need to go out west. So, but to answer the other question, it takes me probably about an hour and a half to pack up the car. One of the funny things about my dad is he was a mechanical engineer at DuPont. So everything is meticulously packed and
is like a you Tetris, got the Tetris,
a game. So so I'm exactly like the night before. I'm like, all right, I got to pack this here. And so when I get in there, I just throw everything in there and it all fits perfectly and we just go. So,
yep. I'm very much the same way. And my dad was an industrial engineer and for IBM for 30 years. So, and he always is a master of the packing. So like I've actually started building my own custom storage stuff for the back of the Land Rover. I haven't built anything for the Subaru yet, but, I've got a box that fits just between the back seats when they're folded up and, you know, makes a nice stable platform. We got the water bricks that lock together and the jerry can that fits just so. And yeah, it's fun, like getting it in there and it's like, oh crap, I've got to get this all out again. Like remember how I had it. So, you know, we did a trip last year to Wisconsin with my son and a buddy and my dad and a couple other guys. And we moved camp every night. And so it was like, okay, pop the tent up and then get everything out. And then in the morning, it's like, oh man, we gotta repack everything. And so the setup changed probably four or five times throughout the 6 days that we were out. But that's part of the fun too, is like constantly innovating and improving your setup and, you know, not necessarily getting new gear, but just improving what you have. Like, you know, a sheet of OSB that cost me nothing. I just hanging around my shop and throw it together with some screws and boom, I got a custom storage box for my, you know, camp kitchen setup.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest things. One of the questions I get asked a lot is how do you get all your camping gear and like, how did you decide it? And honestly, it's a trial by fire type thing. It's you go on trips, you figure out what works, what doesn't work, and you slowly add a piece to it here and there. And it finally, it's never going to be 100% of perfect, but you always are improving little things that you can see and little things about each trip. And that's one of the cool things about it, like you said.
Yeah. I think that's one of the endearing and really helpful qualities about camping is like, and it gives you a lot of lessons for life. And one of them is constantly improving and not feeling like you've got to get it all right the first time.
All right.
Is there anything else that you're like, yeah, this is what camping does, especially for the heart of a man. Like what does it do for your heart and soul when you get out there?
So for me, I just feel like a weight off my shoulders. It's just so relaxing. Working for the government, you have the phones that they constantly are binging and going off and people are trying to get a hold of you and stuff like that. And when I go camping, it's literally, I leave that at home and I don't ever deal with it. And it's just relaxing. It's a place where I can go and just, and recharge my batteries essentially. It also, as a dad, it kind of gives you your kids almost like life lessons, necessity, stuff like that. So, I mean, as easy as it, basic as it sounds, like you teach them how to make a fire and you don't teach them to just stack all the logs on top of each other. You build a certain type of thing so the fire and the oxygen and all that stuff can get up underneath of it and start making it. And it's little things like that that they'll remember, I think, more than anything else is when they take their families eventually down the line camping, they'll be like, hey, they told us that, hey, you got to build it like this, and this is how you set it up. So it's just passing down some of that knowledge experiences that we get years down to them and seeing their reactions and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's so much fun. Like seeing them light up over simple things like the fire triangle, like, oh, what do you need to make a fire? You need oxygen, you need fuel, you need heat.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or like really the rule of three, you know, the survival stuff. You know, you talk like
it's really exciting to see them. sorry to keep cutting you off, but I was gonna say it was really exciting to see them. Like the best part is when they catch a marshmallow on fire and it is like just blazing on fire and their reaction, and they just want to swing it everywhere, and it's like, no.
We don't need a Dennis the Menace moment of flinging it and hitting somebody in the forehead.
Right.
Yeah. We had my first daddy daughter date to the ER was when another kid outside of our family had a blazing hot marshmallow stick with marshmallow remnants on it and hit her in the face right below the eye. So got a nice little second degree burn there. That was a fun night.
Yeah.
But we'll never forget it.
No, right.
And, you know, even when things don't go right, which a lot of times in camping, they don't. I think that's when you make the most fun memories of, like, you always talk about that time where, yeah, remember when we had a river running through our tent and like there was a tornado siren going off and the tent was bouncing down the road. And like, you have any of those stories where like everything went wrong, but you can't stop laughing about it years later.
Yeah. So actually one of the first trip I took, my fiance and her kids on, we just went on a 2-night camping trip, and I took her to obviously my favorite spot, which was the Shenandoah Lake. And I think it was night two. We had a perfect campsite. It was a creek that backed up to it. They had a little trail that you can go up. And so everything went great the first day. Kids had a blast at the lake. We had fun setting up. They had fun exploring and making like little knives out of the sticks, just having a good time. Second night rolls in and a monsoon of a storm barrels through. And it's like, okay, do I need to and get, it's that bad, like thunderstorm, it's pouring. I'm worried that the creek is going to overflow. So I'm literally up all night, like checking the tent to make sure nothing's going on. The kids are passed out. They're oblivious to what's going on. And so it was just one of those nights where I think I got maybe an hour of sleep. But burning to death because this is their first trip. And it could be the last one out there. But everything worked out fine, but it was fun. So we remember that forever.
Yeah. I remember a couple of those myself. Like, actually, it was that same Wisconsin trip. We were on Madeline Island. It's in the Apostle Islands in Wisconsin. They're just off of the shore into Lake Superior. And we'd set up. I think it was our second night there, and we had barely gotten to the tent, and it just poured all night, and you could hear the lightning hitting the lake like really close.
Wow.
We're like, okay, we're on top of a big metal box in the middle of a bunch of tall trees. This could be bad, but I'm very glad my tent is anchored to a truck right now. You know, we're just like listening to the, you know, really close thunder, and it would light up the sky, and we're all like, but it, you know, it was really cool. Like the next morning, we had a river running through the campsite, and that was interesting, getting breakfast going in the morning. And but we'll never forget it. Actually, earlier that day, we had gone cliff jumping, which was pretty fun. So yeah, highly recommend Northern Wisconsin if you ever get up there. There's a really cool trail. It goes from Galena, Illinois, all the way to Lake Superior, and it's, you can do it on an ATV, but it's public roads, and about a third of it is sand and dirt and gravel. Hmm. So it's a good fun time.
Yeah, it sounds like a blast.
How about like, how have your kids grown through, you know, the years of camping? Like, have they taken on kind of more of the, you know, the things that need to get done at camp? Like, are they the ones that are starting to cook now? Like, what's kind of their attitudes and changes that have happened with them?
So the 2 8-year-olds are still kind of, we park the car, doors fly open, they take off running and just go exploring. The 12-year-old, he's more of helping us out. He'll help set up the tent. He'll help lay the footprint down. He'll help drive the stakes. And he's kind of really into the setup and stuff and trying to make sure we're good to go, which I appreciate. But we haven't turned over the cooking to him yet. I might let them do that this year. Maybe, let them grill some hamburgers or something over the fire pit and see how that works out.
Oil dinners, man. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, every time we go out, I let them try a little bit more. And just and take down work really is what they've helped out a lot with, which like after you've camped for a while, the takedown is always the most exhausting part, and you're just like,
yeah,
just throw it all in the car and just let's go and
yeah, deal with it later.
But yeah, it helps out a lot. So
are you guys into scouts at all?
I've thought about getting my son into it. I was in the Boy Scouts growing up. But I kind of got him signed up into Taekwondo right now instead of Boy Scouts. So he's kind of
cool.
Taekwondo right now. So he really likes that. But,
my Boy son Scouts and I do that together. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. He's liking it a lot. He's going for his yellow belt here this month.
Cool.
We'll see how it goes.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. We started, 2 years ago now. Yeah. A little over 2 years ago. We're a brown belt with a black stripe on it. So going to be testing for red belt here in a few weeks, which seems kind of crazy. And man, it's really kind of, again, like as the kids get into something, they progress, they gain some mastery. Like he is a whirling dervish with some of the combat weapons, like, you know, the little stick with the foam on it. My goodness. He's just, you know, Yoda from Attack of the Clones. I was like, just little Wheel of Death. That's him
when he's fighting Dooku. Yeah,
he's just so fast. So like if you're sparring against him, you make a strike and then he's behind you and hitting you in the butt. Like it's crazy.
That's awesome.
And it's so fun. I still remember our first class, he was crying the whole time and like holding onto my leg, and neither of us were really sure we wanted to do it anymore. And like, you know, we had the talk of like, okay, we can say that we don't want to do this anymore, but we've got to give it, you know, got to give it a good shot, right? We got to persevere a little bit. We're going to do one more class, and that one more class has led to 2.5 years of kicking people in the head. So as long as there are no more, you know, restrictions or things, like what's your dream trips for the rest of the year here?
Man, so the missus and I have talked about this a while. So we're trying to plan kind of a honeymoon type of thing. And it would honestly be a cross-country trip to Williams, Arizona, to go out to Casey Highlights for their family retreat and partner type thing. So we got offered to it last year. They canceled it because of COVID. And I would just love to take the Subaru across country all the way to Arizona and stop at various places along the way, like the Grand Canyon and just stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just 2 weeks and just go.
Yeah. Well, if you take a route that goes across Southern Indiana and Southern Illinois, give me a holler. I'll meet you. But definitely make sure that you hit up Hoosier National Forest and the Shawnee National Forest. I mean, there's some rock formations in Shawnee that's called the Garden of the Gods. I mean, you wouldn't believe it's Illinois. It looks like Colorado. It's crazy.
Nice.
That's one of the fun things about, one of the good things that has come out of the COVID season and not being able to fly anywhere is like, okay, where can we drive that we can be out in the middle of nowhere and, you know, see some places around where we're at and appreciate, you know, where we're planted instead of dreaming about the big trip overseas or whatever. So have you kind of discovered some similar things around you? Like, man, I never would have gone there if I didn't have to be where I am right now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things like with this, and one of the luxuries of camping is you control your own space. So the COVID, social distancing, all that type stuff, camping is perfect for that. You set up your tent, you have spaces, you have all this stuff. And I've talked to a few different people about it, and they have just have taken to exploring more and just doing more trips like that, and kind of almost going back in time to what we used to do instead of flying everywhere. And we tried to do that a lot with us. We didn't get a good chance to go out too much last year, but there's a lot of times where I'll just drive down the road and be like, I wonder where that dirt road, or I wonder where that side road takes me. I don't know where that is. Let me turn on my GPS to make sure I know how to get back. But
yeah,
let's go down this road and see what happens. And just wouldn't see. So it's helped a lot of us just slow down, I think.
Oh yeah. I can't tell you the number of similar things of like, that looks like an interesting road. Okay, let's go. We were actually in Shawnee National Forest. I was camping with my middle daughter, who is 4, and we were coming back from a little hike and saw this road that kind of went off into the woods. I'm like, that looks like a Land Rover road. And, you know, there were some puddles in there that I didn't know how deep they were. I'm like, yeah. So I actually like had to wade out like with my axe handle to make sure it wasn't like 4 feet deep or something. And it was, you know, just above the tires. Like,
right.
Oh yeah. So went plowed through the water and
this is happening.
The back seat and plowed through some more water. Back seat. And we ended up coming across this like really creepy, like kind of sketchy campsite in the middle of the woods that was in like the remains of a cabin. Like you could see the fireplace and some foundation. I'm like, okay, we're gonna turn around now. It's like, you know, those kind of moments, or that never would have happened if we hadn't just put it out there and also had the tools to get there, right? You know, a friend of mine was a retired Navy SEAL, and he talks about how we are what we're prepared to do. Like, you know, you've got the dad wagon, or you've got the Rover, or whatever it is, and you've got it. If you have it packed with the stuff that enables you to do what you love, you could do what you love anytime you want.
Right.
He's always got his bike in the back, and you know, the kit for going surfing and you know, med kit and all that stuff for, you know, all these crazy adventures. But at any time, he's good to go. Do whatever fills him up. And I think that's what's really fun about, you know, the adventure vehicle genre is whatever you got, you know, whether it's a teeny Ford Fiesta or a wonderful Outback. You can pack it with things that help you enable you to live an adventurous life. Or if you don't have the wagon of your dreams right now, you can make that attainable.
Yeah, and that's what I try to tell people, because I mean, a lot of people, obviously you see my car and it's decked out and it's got pretty much everything, and I've been pretty fortunate to get what I've been able to put on the car. But I always tell people, your dad wagon or your car has to be one dad, whatever you want it to be. It's a lifestyle more than anything. It doesn't necessarily even mean you have to have a wagon. You can have an SUV or whatever. If you want to call it dad wagon, go for it. Let's go for it. But really it's people ask, like, what should I do to my car to make it adventure ready? Well, my question is to you is, what do you want it to be for? You build your car and your vehicle to support your needs. Mine is set up for my usage and what we have it for. But at the same point, my lifestyle doesn't actually, it doesn't match everybody else's, but that's not bad. It's a good thing. And you just take it and you understand what you need to do. And like, if you want the surfboard, like your Navy SEAL buddy, throw a surfboard on there and you're good to go. But it's, that's one of the cool things is there's so many customizable options that you can make it what you want it to be, whatever your vision is, you can turn it into your ride. So,
yeah. And that, that purpose that you set out for it is what keeps you from getting overwhelmed with paralysis by analysis too. It's like, okay, I could, you know, jack up my car with a 3-inch lift and get 37 inch tires and all the things. And right. You know, just looking at tire sizes will about make your eyes bleed for a week.
But
if you know what you need the car to do, like,
right,
I really want to be able to take it off road a few times a year. I don't need to go off road every Thursday. So I need it to be comfortable on road and yet be able to go off road without breaking stuff. Cool. Right. So that changes the kind of suspension that I buy. That changes the kind of tires I buy and limits it down to a couple of choices rather than 40.
Right. Very true.
So, you know, I think what I'm hearing you saying, and what I will reiterate, if you're wanting to get into equipping your own dad wagon or mom wagon, think harder about why you need a vehicle and what it's going to enable you to do rather than all the cool gear you're going to stick on it.
Right. Exactly. That's the best way to start it off is think about that and then build your vehicle from there. And that's exactly what we've done and what I've done with mine. And honestly, it started with the Yakima cargo basket. I put the basket on there. That was one of the first mods I've ever done, which is very simple. And it stayed with me for the last 7-8 years. And I've just slowly started adding piece by piece that supports our needs from there. And we've just made it is what it is. So yeah, start there. And you can do a lot of different things with it once you figure that out.
Yeah, especially if you start with a capable platform. Like if you start with an Outback or you start with a, you know, an old Land Rover or whatever. If you start with a platform that's relatively capable, that gets you ahead and you don't have to spend a ton of money. Like I think I spent $2,600 on the Disco. Like, I'm not buying expensive cars by any stretch. Granted, holding an old Land Rover ends up being expensive over time, but you know, we kind of knew what we were getting into. And Subaru, same thing. Yes, they do hold their value. Used ones are not cheap, but they are worth the investment and sure, will keep you safe and keep you on the road more often than you're in the shop. Which shout out to my former colleagues at Subaru of Indiana Automotive. You guys build them right. And and actually your car was the last of the model year of the generation that I was on the launch team for. So it's kind of cool. Wow. Whenever I hear people that's like, awesome. Yeah, I got the 2015 through 2019. Like, yeah, I helped. Like, so I was a paint manufacturing engineer. So you're welcome for your lovely black paint that will not chip, crack, or scratch very easily.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
We put blood, sweat, and tears, especially into white ones. The black paint hides really well. And you don't have to put as much of it on, but white, my goodness. Anyway, that's a rabbit hole. We don't need to dive down. But anybody out there who is interested in automotive coatings technology, feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram and I can talk your ear off. Nothing proprietary, just general stuff. But anyway, man, this has been a blast talking with you. And I hope we get out on the trail together sometime. Where can people find out how to connect with you and everything that you're up to?
Just check out adventure_dadwagon. I'm on there a ton, so much so that the missus says, are you on Instagram again? And yes, I'm on Instagram. but that's the easiest way to stay in touch. Shoot me a message. I respond pretty quickly. Because that's one thing I set it out with this whole thing is there's a lot of people that build a car and then people ask questions and you never hear from them. And I want to be able to make sure that if you have a question about something, I'm going to give you my opinion and try to help you out as much as I can. So I'm not going to kind of just ignore it and just keep it going. So yeah, Instagram is the best spot to stay up to date with what I do with the car. If I have a mod section on my webpage, which is just www.adventuredadwagon.com, that lists all the mods and everything that's on there. So if they want to take a look at what's on the car, pop on the site and they'll see everything that's on there.
Cool. Well, we'll be sure to link to that in the show notes. And yeah, definitely make sure you follow him on Instagram. He's got a great page. Just love all the pictures you put up there and you know, really nice, approachable writing style. So yeah, definitely really, really fun to follow you. And it's been great connecting with you, Greg. And hopefully we'll get to chat again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Thanks for joining us today on the Anthem of the Adventurer. Make sure that you subscribe to our email list to get all of our updates on theanthemoftheadventurer.com. Like us and follow us on Instagram and Pinterest to get all of the visual updates, and keep an eye out for the updated blog and website coming out in May. If you're looking for some more resources to keep your adventures going, check out our tribe on Facebook, the Anthem of the Adventurer Tribe, or our friends over at the Adventure Challenge. You can use the code DAN10 at checkout to get 10% off your order for a really amazing book full of challenges for you and your family. Go out and live your adventure.